Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful morning to you. This is Brad Zockel, and it is morning here. A little bit chilly, but it's going to be warming up here in upcountry South Carolina. Welcome to the barn studio. I have three feral cats that are taking laps in here, running in and out. I have the barn door open a little bit for them to be able to enjoy this time. And they're trying to figure out why I'm over here next to the microphone at the studio, but they're getting settled down here. Beautiful weather. I am very, very much looking forward to going up north on Saturday. I'll be taking off about 2 in the morning here, puttering my way up through the highway up into Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and I will be speaking at a wonderful church. This will be my second time, Emmanuel Baptist Church in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Steve Kruves welcomes one and all. You can come in there in the morning and the evening. In the morning time, the very first message I'll be sharing is going to be to the college and career in the morning Bible study. Then in the main service, I'll be talking about the mysteries of heaven in the main service at Emmanuel Baptist Church. And then in the evening, we go into the fellowship hall for a wonderful time of Q&A, questions and answers about eternity and the love of God, the God of heaven. We had a magnificent weekend the last time I was up in the Keystone State. If you are in the area, if you're anywhere near, Mechanicsburg is very near Harrisburg. And my friends, if you're anywhere in the area, you are more than welcome. It was just a very, very wonderful time whenever I was able to meet some of our dear friends who listened to the podcast and were able to come on over, and then I was able to see them face-to-face, my dear friends here, over in Mechanicsburg. And so that's this coming Sunday. That's going to be the morning and evening services, and it will be on March 10th. And so I hope that I can see you here. Heading on into the rest of March, I will be taking a break, spending some more time working on the third book in our series. If you haven't seen our first two books, we have a 7-book series on heaven coming out. The first two are What is Heaven All About? And Heaven, the Adventure Begins. And they're both available on Amazon. You're more than welcome to go right in there. You can even go on Kindle, have that downloaded to your phone, and a portion of any of the sales of the books go into our traveling ministry. It goes into the expenses incurred as we're traveling. As you know that right now we're attempting to raise funds for me to get a new car. As I took the car in for the oil change yesterday, anticipating the trip, it registered just over $240,000, and the Honda CR-V is doing well. But there is a need for me to be looking, and so we're not in a panic, in a hurry, but we are looking forward to that. If we can raise the money for a new transportation with a lot lower mileage, not looking for a brand new truck, not looking for a brand new car, looking for transportation in that sense, just looking for something that's reliable. And any donation that you have, it's much appreciated. We are a 501c3, and so you'll receive two receipts, one from the general accounting part of our ministry. They'll send something to you, and then as it comes across my desk, I'll be sending you a second receipt and personal thanks for your kindness and your donations. Thank you very, very much. Well, let's talk about our subject at hand today. I want to share something with you here. This happens on a regular basis. I would say about every 3 days on one of the social media, I will run into a tangle, more or less. As the Bible tells me, the scriptures will tell us that we are to be in defense of the scriptures, and we will indeed look at that. This is why I tell you that we should take notes, be prepared, as Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, to study the scriptures daily, to see whether these things are so, and have this defense. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, that when we're looking at these things that are being taught by me or any other person that is expounding the scripture, explaining the scripture, that we should examine all these things. And that word really means to test it, to weigh it. In the context in which the scripture is presenting it, is this about heaven so? Or am I going into speculation or, you know, high-minded visions, dreams, some sort of a conjecture that might make you feel good but has no biblical basis. So we had somebody come on. Let me give you an example. I'm not going to say the name of the person, but you can see it very easily in here. And the first question was this: it's amazing to me how many people still believe this nonsense. So whenever I had talked with him, wanted to go into a discussion on it, and I went in, there were a lot of accusations which were biblically inaccurate, something about God killing people, the situation here about a bear coming, quote, the bear coming out to kill a bunch of kids that made fun of a bald guy, and without anything, any discourse, I said, well, listen, here's what we're going to do. You're ready for a discussion. Here's what we do. Meet me tomorrow morning. We'll go. And this happened. You can read the whole, there was a lot of diatribe here, a lot of acrimonious answers to me whenever I said, let's discuss on here. It's more than what would be in the comments section. Quote, no, I don't need a discussion about any of this. I was like you, indoctrinated and a strong believer. I woke up and deconstructed from this nonsense. And I basically said, so, but you don't want to defend what you have. And then he said, here we go. I don't have a faith to defend. I told you where I stand and am done. You will notice, keep wanting, the person is wanting to back out of the discussion. And let me see what else we have. So start putting on cartoon emojis. I said, we're adults, and so do cartoons. This is what you want to do. And will you not defend your stand? And kept saying this. Then went over to another comment and said, I'm leaving. Now, here's what I want you to do. You answer to me. I've got to go to work, but I have one final question. Why do you believe what you believe? You'll see this. In other words, we don't want to have a dialogue. I want just a monologue. I'm not here to defend my faith, says the non-believer in many cases that come to me. But I want you to stand so I can stand back and graffiti any comment that you say. But we don't want a discussion. Okay, what do you do in something like this? Because somebody says, listen, I can identify with this. This happens at work. This happens in my neighborhood. This happens at a family reunion with a non-believer. I try to discuss something, and all it is a diatribe of accusations and everything. Well, the first thing that I want to share with you is this. If you are allowing everything to be nothing but questions, and you don't have questions to ask them, why are you talking? In other words, is all you're going to do is just sit there and simply just answer questions, which is very, very important. But I'm constantly amazed at Christians who will not turn around and ask questions of the non-believer. Now, I've been keeping account. This is now, in a row, the 37th person in whom I've said, now, let me ask you about your belief. And they said, I don't need to. I don't want to. I've got to go to work. That's not necessary. And I said, how come you want me to defend my faith, but in a dialogue, in a discourse among two adults that seem to have somewhat of an intelligence that you don't want to discuss? You just want to destroy. Okay, I'm ready to defend my faith, but I have questions for you. All right, so let's think about this. You know, when we go to heaven, one of the joys is we continue to think. This is not a mindless faith, even up into eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12 tell us that we are going to know the mystery of God's will, and the term in there is all things will be summed up, added up, under Christ, telling us we are going to be on a learning curve. I'll remind you, Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the first thing that those redeemed in that narrative do is they walk right up to the Lord and they ask questions because they want some answers. They want to learn. So we will be learning. In heaven, are we thinking? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 3 says, we will have authority over angels. Revelation 22 and verse 5 tells us that we will reign with him. There needs to be a cognitive ability to be able to have any sort of administrative power. We have been given authority. That's what Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 19, when we enter into heaven. And then along with that line, in enjoying these things, we have the ability to rejoice. Psalm 16:11, which I share with you so many times, we will have fullness of joy. So when we see these promises of heaven, I'm more than willing, more than happy to share these things. It's like throwing open the treasures of a mountainside of jewels and coins and having no loss in income, sharing these things. And yet there would be skeptics that would look at the edge of the door and say, I don't want to, nor do I need. Let me explain what is right inside this door. There are treasures untold, and I want to share these with you. No, I don't need to. I don't need to. I don't want to. Could I discuss with you how these things can be here, how I can share these? No, I don't want to. Then what I do is, whenever an accusation comes up, the very first thing I do is say, can we talk? Can we discuss? Now, why do I say this? Well, there's a principle here which really brought me to salvation, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. The Lord himself says, come, let us reason together. And in that, there's a discussion about my spiritual condition. Your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They're as crimson, they shall be as wool. And I liked that at the age of 17. That really was an invitation that I couldn't ignore. I do want some answers, Lord, and I want to find people who will discuss them. And through the Lord's leading, there was a college student who would take time to sit down and talk with me. Eric would listen to this 16-and-a-half-year-old going on 17 and the questions here, and I just absolutely drank it up, that somebody older would listen and discuss here. Think about this. This is our call. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Through the believers, of that would be you and me, right, Christian? That we are to show all of those within the world the manifold wisdom of God. That really means the multicolored wisdom of God. Just as if somebody's looking at a stained glass window or a field of varied flowers, we are showing the beauty. It's just not a monochromatic one stand. This is God in one way, and that's it. There are so many things. It's on our call to explain these things. What do I find out in all of these years, really, in, especially in these past months of ministering and the year and a half I've been on various ministries such as Facebook and TikTok and YouTube, here on podcasting, is that the accuser will have a one-dimensional idea of God. And when I start opening it up, there are some, not very many, there's a small percentage that says, okay, I thank you for answering. I did not know that. Well, that's our call, that we are to, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, through the believers, it should be made known, the manifold wisdom of God, making it known to leaders. This is the eternal purpose through Jesus Christ. So we're to do that. Somebody walks in and says, I don't understand this, and I reject this, and I have all knowledge of what you Christians believe. I find out such naive assumptions would be the equivalent of walking into like Dell computer and assuming that I know how to run the circuitry boards, having never even studied science at all. To assume that and say, I know exactly how this works. Give me a hammer and give me a crowbar and show me to the circuitry board. I can get to work. Well, now, wait a minute now. You know, this doesn't even work in the secular society of people assuming things with no research, no background, no education. Yet the gospel is made so very, very simple. And there are people that will refuse even to hear that. But I think of the simplicity of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. I ask you a question. Jesus, you gave me an answer. I ask you another question, and I make a statement. You give me an answer. You make a statement. I'm seeing the light. I'm getting it. You are kind. Jews should not speak to Samaritans. You have been so kind to do that. You're not looking down at me. Women are not to engage with men in conversation in social settings. You are breaking that barrier because you look into my soul. What happens? She comes to Christ, and she is like one of the first missionaries we read about. She runs down to the village. You have to hear this man. He is indeed the Messiah. I think of Paul, Acts chapter 17, verses 22 through 31. You're going to see him talking to the council of Areopagus. Remember this? Mars Hill. You might remember this. And Paul stands up there and facing a diatribe of mockery, he still presents, gentlemen, I see the general direction. Let me narrow it and tell you our faith. There are some that mock. Some say, well, you know something. He has some points here. He is giving his burden. Is he being mocked? Well, of course, there are some times. There are those that are thinking, what is this person? We're the ones with all the intelligence and such. And Paul lays out the discourse, See, think about this. What does Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16? He can't help but preach this. He can't help but show this. He says, so if I preach the gospel, well, I have nothing to glory of myself. This is the gospel. This is not Paul. This is Jesus. This is salvation. This is the glory of Yahweh and the access to him, the road to him. This is the eternal kingdom. Does my name come in here? Am I etched on the highway? There is my name across the top of the gate going in. No, nobody's going to care about me. They're going to see the truth of the gospel and Jesus Christ all the way, as it says in John 14:6, he is the way. What does he say in the last part of 1 Corinthians 9:16? But woe to me if I don't present the gospel. Woe to me if I don't preach this. I call this out. I make this known. Well, this would be something that's beyond my comfort level, my conception. It's just woe to me. This would be accursed if I can't present this. So in the midst of all this, friends, as you discuss and discourse to others, you present this, and sometimes it comes down to this. I will ask them, why are you angry with me? I'm here. Have I done anything to invade you? No, you're showing an anger. Could you explain your anger? And sometimes it gets an accuser tongue-tied. Is there anything here? I'm in upcountry South Carolina making a presentation here. Have I abused you in your state? Have I done anything? And they're like, well, no. You know, this is my faith. This is my love here. This is my joy, my comfort. I find Yahweh, Isaiah 51:12. He claims he is he who comforts me, and I've found that since I left agnosticism at the age of 17. And as I come to you and I see you, I have a desire that I need to share this with you. I cannot force you into this, but I can present this to you. Why do you come across and you don't want to discuss? And I'm thankful. Some say, well, okay, I got a little bit out of hand. I apologize. Let's talk. And so there we go. And this, but always remember this. When the accusation comes, I said, well, let's do this. It's usually a rule of three. If somebody really wants to get into a confrontation, I said, here I go by the rule of three. You can ask me any three questions that you want to. You can even ask my shoe size. But then I get to ask you three questions. And to those that say, okay, that's fair. We have a very deep discussion, and it has happened. To those that say, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? You ask me. I said, well, this is a dialogue. And the definition of a dialogue is a conversation between two. You want a monologue, me only just presenting my, well, I don't feel that that's a good conversation. It's not fair to you that you would have a discourse, but it's also not fair to me if I don't know where you're coming from and I cannot see what your needs are, where your heart is. So these are just some thoughts here as we take a look at this. There's too much heaven to keep to ourselves. And there's too much joy and future for me to withhold it from those that may not want to receive it. There have been times when we would see this on social media, that people would actually walk over in filming and want to give away gift cards of $100, $200, pay everybody's groceries, and people would look at the person and just turn away. I don't want it. I just don't want this. And I remember one man says, I will pay for all your groceries here. And somebody said, no, just get away from me. There are people in the face of wonderful things will still say no, but that does not negate our obligation, our call, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, that we are to go out and present this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we do this, it's into all the world. Just something for you to see in the scriptures to let you know. Thank you so much, friends. We'll talk some more about heaven. Be in prayer as I travel here. I'm heading out tomorrow morning up to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and on through this spring and summer in wonderful places and sharing the gospel and sharing heaven and sharing the God of heaven. Thank you so much. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.